Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. Wow, you know, that is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. Wow, we got it. For those who found us on their radio at FM 96.9, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road, and everyone here knows that, right? For anyone who's looking for a new church home or just one to visit for a sort of change of pace, come and see us. Everyone is welcome. And the scripture we selected for this morning's invocation is Psalm 16, taken from the New Revised Standard Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. It goes, "Protect me, O God, for in you I take my refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom all is my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is goodness and fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand with me this morning, please, for our call to worship? Our call to worship is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. If you have your Bibles, you may read along with me this time, but for the future, we'll make sure we either have it printed in the bulletin or we'll have it on the board, upon the screen. Listen for God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. We give thanks to you, O gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to worship one more time. Help us, O Lord, to remember that you desire worshipers that worship you in spirit and truth. Remove anything anything and everything that hinders us, our worship for being genuine this morning, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You stand for our opening hymn, How Great Thou Art. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul,
and anniversaries coming up. We're going to start off with tomorrow. We have an anniversary for Ruth and Rudy Mendez. Tomorrow the 17th. And then Saturday's a big day. We got three things going on there. Saturday, we have the birthday of Laura Dixon and Jan Morrison. Hey, Jan. All right. And then we have the anniversary of Joe and Peggy Gonzalez. Hey, Peggy. What year anniversary? 45 years.
All right.
Congratulations. All right. So we'll put the anniversaries in with birthdays, but we'll sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday.
All right, any other announcements? Okay, Lance?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with compassion and understanding for those in need, and wipe out the judgment and self-interest that too often displaces your love. Inspire us to follow you and not chase after money or possessions. Guide us to use our wealth to serve you by loving your children and tending to your creation. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, you are the giver. You are the God of creation, the God that brings us to fullness of life. We ask, Lord, that you keep us mindful that we are your servants, and that although we have oftentimes hard hearts, that you are there, that you have given us so much, and let us give joyfully to back to you and to others. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Today's reading is from Luke 16, verses 1 to 13. The parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called a man and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what should I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I will do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked that first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down and quickly and make it 450. Then he asked a second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than they are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. Do that. When it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Choir. All right.
Good morning. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, keep me from ungodly and unprincipled thinking. Keep the eyes of my heart looking to Jesus for my provision and protection, and prevent me, I pray, from looking to my own bank balance or any other source of supply for my security. May I have an undivided heart that looks to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and in whose name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us prepare to hear the message. Let us pray. Father, we ask that as we sit here, empower us with your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and minds so that we may joyfully hear the message that your Holy Spirit will deliver through Pastor Ted. Give Pastor Ted strength. Give him courage. Let him put aside that which is Pastor Ted, and let his words be your words, so that they will burn within each of us. And let them burn with such a fire that we take them to the world and deliver them to those that need to hear of your salvation. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh my goodness, let me say that again. I sounded like I didn't. Me sounded all. It ain't that bad, Ted. Good morning. All right, amen, amen. While the children are coming down, I just want to remind us this morning that we are the messengers. We are the hand and feet of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So let us remember that we have a light. We have a light that cannot be hid. Let me sit right there. That cannot be hid. So don't let your light, don't hide your light. Amen? Let it shine. Let it shine like the lights on these little ones' faces. All right. And they're sharing seats, too. All right. Amen. Well, good morning, children. How are y'all doing? Amen. I got a question for you this morning. And I'll start with you. Delilah, who do you trust? Why? Hey, man, did you hear what she said? She said, I asked her, who do you trust? And she said, my mom. And I asked her why. And she said, because she never lies to me. Hey, man, what about you? Who do you trust? Hey, man. He trusts her family. Why do you trust your family? Wow, these kids are awesome because they never lie to you and they're always there for you. Now remember, these are children. Amen? Take notice. All right, Catherine, who do you trust? Why do you trust your friends? Okay, what if they did lie to you? Okay, amen. She trusts her friends. What about you, Miss Princess? Who do you trust?
I trust my dad.
Hey, whoa. Now, okay, Mother's Day's coming up, all right? There's Father's Day, too. Don't forget about the dads. We always get left out some kind of way. Amen? She trusts her dad. I like that. Amen. What about you, young man? Who do you trust? He trusts silence. What about you?
I trust my mom.
Oh, great. Good deal. She trusts her mom.
Who do you trust?
He goes, I sure don't trust you. These kids, they have great lessons, right? Now, here's something for all you children. You know the who loves you more than anything in the world, even more than your parents? Jesus and God, doesn't he? So you know what you ought to do? You know who you ought to trust? You ought to trust him, right? So who are you going to trust with him? God, all right? You're going to trust God, all right? What's your name, huh? That's right. You told me that last week, didn't you? And she rolls her eyes at me. All right, children, I just want to let you know and tell you that you ought to trust the Lord. Amen? Trust him. Trust your parents, your friends, but trust God more than anything. All right? God bless y'all. All right? Thank you. If you think that you can't learn something from children, then you're wrong. Amen? That's one thing about a child. They tell the truth, don't they? Until what? We teach them how to lie. They tell the truth. They tell what's on their heart. So, knowing that, our title this morning for our sermon is, Can God Trust You? Can God Trust You? You see, it's the little things in the kingdom of God, and trust is built or lost on one small decision at a time. Remember that. One small decision can break down trust. You know, it takes a long time to build trust, amen? But it doesn't take very long for it to end. It can go away real quick based on the decisions and the things that we do. So our passage today has got a lot to do with trust. And where we put that trust, where we misplace it, or what can happen when that trust is broken. I have a story this morning about myself, and it's not a very pretty story, but I tell you this story to kind of help you to see just how important trust is in between you and your family and between you and God. Long ago, when I was just a lad, maybe about, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old, I picked up a dreadful habit, and that habit was stealing. I used to go around to a store called Safeway and steal. Not because I had to, because I thought it was fun. Anyway, I got caught one day. My dad caught me, and he told me something that I never, ever forget. He says, Ted, I can't trust you anymore. I can't trust you anymore. And you know, after I did that, he made me go down to that store, go down there with my head hung down and take all that stuff back and apologize in front to the store manager. And I got to tell you right there, folks, that taught me one thing. You don't want to steal, because I didn't like the consequences. But one of the things that hurt me more than anything was the fact that my dad said he didn't trust me anymore. You see, we can't trust a person that steals. Amen? Amen. But I thank God that he's brought me a long way from that. And I imagine if we be honest, he brought a lot of us from a lot of things we used to do a long time ago. So our passage today has a lot to do with trust. And we've all got stories, you know, because trust is something that's part of life that helps keep the world going round. We trust the sun will come up tomorrow. We trust that there's going to be enough air for us to breathe. We trust that those folks out there on Foster Road and 78, all those folks will obey those traffic lights. We're hoping that when it's time for us to go, nobody else is trying to go also. So we trust that that doctor is telling us the right thing. We put a trust in a whole bunch of things. So with that in mind, when's the last time you thought about trusting God? You see, given what we're going through today in this world, I bet the chances are pretty good that it's been pretty recent, you know. But here is the question of the day. Can God trust you? Can he trust you? It's pretty hard to answer, because some of us, we don't even trust ourselves. So how could God trust some, but we don't? And yet, for some reason, God's plan was and continues to be one where he uses people, fallible people like you and me, to build the church, to build bridges, to share the gospel, to be ambassadors of reconciliation to the lost and hurting world. He's been using folks like us for thousands of years, and we're going to see today he gets a few things to say about why trust matters just as much as it did 2,000 years ago. So, our main passage today is Luke 16:1-13. And this comes from a larger portion of preaching that Jesus did. He was teaching, and he was teaching through stories and parables. But our particular parable today is referred to as the parable of the shrewd manager. And this guy, he was pretty pretty slick, pretty good. And one of the first primary lessons of this parable is that the little things, they do matter. So as we get into the scripture, it sounds like this guy's in a lot of trouble. Sounds like he's got some explaining to do to his supervisor. But what did he do? You know, and how did the rich man come to be so fed up with him? I suspect that he'd been doing this for a while, and this has been building up. You see, to lose trust, it takes one small thing. It never happens. It's always the little things that we do, the little things that we think God's not looking at, the little things that we think that we can get away with, and they keep building up. You know, chances are the rich man had finally heard one too many bad stories about this guy, and it kind of like just pushed him over the edge. I wonder today, you might be a parent, or you may be a supervisor, you may be an owner, or anyone who has to do with people. Have you ever been pushed to the edge? Have you ever been the one in charge? Have you ever pushed a parent or a boss over the edge? When I was growing up, I know I used to really push my parents over the edge all the time. You know? So it's not usually just one little thing, but many little things that get us to the end of our rope. And as much as these first couple of verses gives us some context, they also introduce us to the main point again. Little things matter. They add up both positively and negatively. And sometimes we find ourselves saying exactly what this shrewd guy did. He said this, "What in the world am I going to do now? What do I do now?" So, upon review of his potential employment options, the manager, he makes a pretty hasty decision to do some creative accounting, as it's called, some creative accounting and with his boss's debtors. He goes around and he leverages all the debts, cuts them in half, and his assumption is that if he cuts enough of these debts, he'll get favors extended to him, because when he gets fired, he'll have someone to fall back on. Pretty shrewd, isn't it? Pretty shrewd. Sounds like something I'd probably try to do. But listen to it. His cunning, shrewdness, and deceptive decision-making are probably the same thing that got him in this position in the first place. You know, sometimes we can be too slick, amen? Sometimes we can outsmart ourselves. Beware of trying to be shrewd and trying to play tricks on people. It usually backfires on you. So what he does, and even more amazingly, he leverages these debts, and what's even more amazing, the boss agreed with it, commends him for it. That's wow. You got a dishonored manager, he cuts profits away from his boss, and then he's praised for it. You see, you know, what happened here? Did Jesus get his parables mixed up? You know, some say maybe he was tired from all the teaching and traveling. Or perhaps maybe we're just missing the point, and we need to look just a little deeper on this one. Amen? Sometimes, dear ones, you got to look a little deeper and find out what's really going on. Sometimes the answer and the point lies a little further in the scripture. So, one particular commentary said it like this. The steward was praised because he recognized the coming disaster and his guiltiness. He acted swiftly, gambling on the mercy of either the debtor or the landlord or the boss. This reflects what a sinner does when they recognize their guilt and they recognize a coming judgment, and they quickly respond to Jesus' offer for forgiveness and mercy. That's one particular persons or commentators on this. I believe Jesus is going even further with this. You see, the shrewd, dishonest manager probably wasn't someone you want your kids looking up to. But the parable does reveal to us the power that little things can have in our lives. And the small decisions can have a huge impact. Small favors can reap huge rewards later. Small little secret doings can add up, and they can also get you fired. It all seems to point back to this. From all these little revelations, now, the Lord is about to put it all together and give us the greater, greater revelation. Now listen to what he says here. He says he brings it all together with a few verses, and he gives us an absolutely awesome principle for life, which we probably all experience at some point or another. He says this: if you can't be trusted with a little, you won't be trusted with a lot. If you can't be trusted with a little, you won't be trusted with a lot. The Lord has blessed us with so much. Amen? He's given us money. He's given us a place to stay. He's given us friends. Yet, we always seem to want more. 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 Lord, we want more. Can we have this? He said, well, Ted, I gave you this job. Can you be trusted with that one before I give you something even higher? You know, the Lord wants to know if he can trust you this morning. You see, you have to understand that the kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed. That's what he says in Matthew Gospel chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. Trust begins like a real small seed. Has anybody ever seen a mustard seed? Little old bitty thing, isn't it? Tiny, tiny. But it grows into a beautiful tree that can give you a lot of good shade in the summertime. That's how the kingdom of heaven is. You see, as it grows, just like a mustard seed, trust, you can branch out further and further and further. If you prove trustworthy to the little things, Alamo, that God has given us, he'll allow us to branch out even further. Amen? If we prove that we are good stewards of the things that he's given us now, the money that he's given us, the opportunities, then you'll get more. But first, we got to settle this trust thing. So, our responsibility, it grows and grows, and others see that you that can see that you're trustworthy. You know, the more that you do things for the Lord, the more that you do the little things. What are some of the little things? I don't know. Maybe reading your Bible. Can he trust you to do that? Can he trust you to pray? Can he trust you to visit the sick? Can he trust you to be kind to your neighbors? Can he trust you to come to church and participate? Can he trust you to do the little things? You know, if he can trust you with those things, then he'll give you the big things. And I wonder this morning, can God trust us as good stewards with the things that he's given us? So this morning, are you faithful in the little things of life? Or are you just kind of hanging around and harboring sin in your life? You see, are you holding on to something that might distort that trust that God needs to have in you? You see, are you holding on to something that you don't want to give to Jesus? All of us have these little secret things. We won't tell nobody but Jesus. And sometimes we won't even tell him because we think we can hide it from him. But in order for God to trust you, you're going to have to let go of that mess. Amen? You're going to have to get that stuff gone. You're going to have to leave that stuff at the altar. When you do that, the Lord says, oh, hey, Ted, finally, he finally got the message. I can trust him now. You see, our Lord is calling us to lives of faithfulness, righteousness, and devotion in big things, small things, and everything in between. Never make the mistake that you think you got to do great things for the Lord, because you don't.
It's the little things that he looks at. It's those little things. It's those little nice words you say to someone that you don't even know. It's the cards that you send to folks. The little things that you think doesn't matter. But it matters greatly to the Lord. Because then he knows he can trust you with those things. And he'll give you more responsibility. So I think we can all admit that there are areas in our lives that we still need to hand over to the Lord. So for whatever reason, we've been holding on to them. We're trying to manage them, hoping they work themselves out. But as Jesus so beautifully says at the very end of our passage for the day, you cannot serve God and other things. Let me come down front. Say this. In verse 13, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon, mammon which is money. You can't have it both ways. You can't have righteous living over here and rebellious living against God over here. He wants us to be all in, 100%. Not 80%, not just 80 or 30% on Sundays. He wants you all in all the time. Then he can know that he can trust you. So this morning, are you holding on to something? Are you holding on to a little thing that may be causing a problem in a relationship between you and Jesus Christ? Or maybe it causing problems in relationship between others in your life? Can that person trust you? Can they trust you? And I go back to my original question. Can God trust you this morning? You see, he's got something for you. He's got more for you. He wants you to go forward, and he wants us to do great things and good things for the community and for him. But first, he's got to be able to trust you. He's got to be able to trust you. This morning, as I close, I want to say this. It's very important that you understand that you can't have it both ways. 100%. 100% is what Jesus is looking for. He wants all of you, not part of you, all of you. And the reason why he does that way, he knows he can trust you. I tell you, through 50 years of marriage, one of the things that we've learned to do, and it didn't come easy, was to trust each other. And anybody in here that's been married or any relationship can tell you that is not easy to do. It can be so easily broken and cast aside. But I got to warn you folks, if you do that, if you break a trust like that, oh my goodness, it's going to be hard to get that back. It's going to take a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer, and a lot of prayer. It's going to take a lot of getting back to what God wants you to do. But you know what? Thank God. Thank God for his mercy and grace. Thank God for Jesus Christ who died on the cross to save us. Thank God for his mercy that he is willing to forgive. I'll leave you with this verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And this is the part that I love more than anything. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. While we prepare for the invitation, the altar is open for anyone that may want to come forward, who may have something on their mind that they want to tell the Lord. They want prayer. Perhaps even you want to get a better relationship with Lord. You may want to even join this church. You know, I can tell you this church is going good places, folks. It is, and it's not because of me, and it ain't because of you. It's because of Jesus. Amen. It's because of the trust that he's put in us at Alamo United Methodist Church. So we welcome you to join in with us. We welcome you to come to the altar and, hey, do this. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Don't be afraid. He is sitting there just waiting and listening. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about who's looking at you. Well, you know, don't worry about that. You get things right with the Lord, because you know why? You may not have a chance tomorrow. Amen. Randy?
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? Hymn of promise. In the ball there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold of snow and winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until it's season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds of mystery. Unrevealed until it's done, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death a resurrection, and path a victory. Unrevealed until this season, something God alone.
Can you trust God? Yes, you can. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And do what? Lean not to your own understanding. You trust in the Lord. He'll take care of you. But remember, it's a two-way street. Can he trust you also? God bless you this morning.
Let's continue to keep all of our homebound members in our thoughts and prayers. Kathy Bedell, Elaine Bixler, Esther Goins, Elizabeth Grazulis, Hector Martinez, and Roy Wood. Lord, hear our prayers. Norma Glenn also. Asking prayers for Dad. Y'all know. But he's been struggling the last couple of weeks, and he was really out of it yesterday, so prayers for Dad. Also, another sister, she's got COVID. Lord, hear our prayers. And Michelle is asking prayers for her mother, Barbara Holcomb. Lord, hear our prayers. Continued prayers of uplifting and support. Gerda Hader's sister, Emma Gard. And she also has a sister-in-law from South Dakota here visiting with us this morning. So, welcome to United, Alamo United Methodist Church. Continued prayers of support and uplifting for David and Lisa Edwards. Virginia Mollenhoff's granddaughter Reagan and her family. Continued prayers of support for Alice Tyler's family. Diane Skaggs' daughter, Lisa Zveda. Dixie Souter's sister, Martha. Family of Patricia Holland Simon. Homer Vargas' neighbors, Joaquin Gonzalez and Gregory Fuentes. Valerie Carpio and her daughter Ashley, they're friends of Karen Lawrence. Joni Peterson's cousin Jet Manuel and Sandra Boykin's son Darren. Lord, hear our prayers. And continued prayers of support for Karen Lawrence and for Doug. I talked to him a couple of days ago, and Doug had a couple of rough days this week, and he was a lot better Thursday and Friday, but continue to keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Continued prayers for Bonnie Chambers and her family, for Janice Walker, for Sandy Bundick and her family, Linda Robeson, and for Lance Shaw as he's still healing from his bang up a couple of weeks ago. Lord, hear our prayers, and also thanks be to God. Continued prayers for all of the people around the world, Ukraine, America, and all of God's children. Continue to be kind and say thank you to anybody and everybody you can when you're out. The word of kindness can make a person's day. So thanks be to God for all of that. And God, thank you for Alamo United Methodist Church, for all of the congregation, and as you guide us out into to do your work and to spread your word, continued prayers of keeping us close and bringing us together. In the name of our Father and of our Son, of Jesus' Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, hear our prayers. Amen.
Prayer is an awesome weapon that the Lord has given us. Prayer is the one thing that keeps us in good standing with the Lord. It lets Him know that He can trust us, and that we care about Him, and we want Him to hear, to answer our prayers. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Not that we deserve anything, Lord. We realize it's only by your grace and mercy that we're able to approach the throne of grace. Lord, we approach it as humbly as we know how, leaving all the mess behind and clinging only to you, Jesus, looking to you to help us. Lord, we ask for prayer for those that are sick, those that have been lifted up this morning, those maybe, Lord, that we may have missed their name, but we know, Lord, you won't miss them at all. We pray for that gentleman who's outside, Lord, making noise in our parking lot on the road. Lord, we don't know what he's doing or what he's after, but Lord, he's your creation. We ask, Lord, that you would keep him safe, keep him, Lord, from harm, but more than anything, we ask that you would get in his heart as only you can and help him to understand who you really are. We thank you for Alamo United Methodist Church. We thank you for each one that's gathered here today, and those that are at home, couldn't gather with us, who are with us in spirit. We thank you so much, Lord, for those who worship with us, who pray with us, who care about us and care about this community. We thank you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that as we go further, that you would help us to be your disciples. Help us, Lord, to treat folks like we ought to want to be treated. Help us not to be mean and ugly, but to be kind and compassionate. We look to you, Lord, to help us to do these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we leave from here today, be careful, driving especially. This is a wild town. Drive safely and carefully, and let us join together again next Sunday. Oops. And
next year,
hear the message that Pastor Ted will be bringing us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn? Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Yeah.